We are Brightside, home of the
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast. The Home Theater Podcast, it's all about the experiences. The sights.
The sounds.
The scenes.
Alrighty, we're trying to get this thing going because we're starting a little bit late and somebody's going to hard out at 7 p.m. So let's keep this thing rolling. No, I'm just kidding. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Pretty good, thanks.
I'm interested to see if you can do the whole show like that.
I could. Yeah. How many people are hitting their podcast player going, what the hell?
I'm on 1.5.
Did I do 1.5 times? Yeah. DJ talks fast as it is. It's like, remember that when we first started, John? We got comments from people. Yeah, your editing is a little rough. It's too choppy. I'm like, no, that's the way I talk. You should hear what's in my head.
It's just natural.
Because John and I would be talking like this, and we'd be like, yeah, so, you know, we went to saw Spider-Verse, and then, oh, my God, can you believe Corolla's now come in gold? We'd be like, where's that edit come from? No, that was in my head. Oh, and that's why I gave up caffeine. Oh, so how are things going on your side of the pond, Steve? We don't say that enough.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Yeah, same old, same old. Yeah, lovely weather. We've had some good weather the last couple of weeks. So it's been very nice, which we don't very often have here, as you probably will know. It's all good. Yes, nothing too bad to report. Everyone's going crazy over Spider-Verse. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to that. John? We talked about it a little bit of moments ago. I mean, you've got stars coming in and out of the store now.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about that. How did that all come to be? And were you surprised? Were you?
Well, yeah, you know, it was a complete accident. I mean, on my part, I didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, she just,
like, most of the best kind.
Well, I'm saying it wasn't planned, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, it wasn't, I didn't know she was coming. For those that don't know, Leilani Hsu is her name, and she was a Jawa in most of the Disney Plus stuff, Mandalorian, Obi-Wan, and Book of Boba Fett. She played a Jawa. And so she was in town for a signing, and I guess Googled comic book stores close to wherever she was and found mine because they were looking for merchandise that she could sign and at her show and sell, you know. So I wished I would have known she was coming because I would have prepared and I would have had merchandise that she could have sold if I had a couple of weeks heads up. But yeah. That wasn't the case. So the random couple of things I had, she picked up some posters and signed a book for me because that was all I had. And it was great. You know, put some pictures up, got some, you know, got a little bit of hits on Instagram. That was the most liked post I've ever had. So I guess her people found it and liked it. So
You sent me the
too modest, John. You mean she Googled the best comic store in the galaxy?
Yes,
that's what she found. Come on.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And she traveled all the way there.
Yeah, from a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was the closest one within sort of 12 parsecs.
Yeah.
I like how
Which is funny because actually from either airport she would have flown into, I am not the closest store. So I'm not quite sure how she found me. I'm not the closest store to the hotel she was staying at or the airports. So I'm glad she did. And I might not have been the only place you went. You know, she might have gone to a couple of places looking for stuff. But I follow
all the stores. You were her favorite.
I follow all the stores in the area, and I didn't see anybody else post any pictures or anything about it. So I don't know.
Maybe she's a Brightside HT fan.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe.
That's She wanted to visit the man, the myth, the legend. The legend.
That's right.
Papa Sirk.
That's right.
Papa Sirk. Yeah, I was going to say, she even signed her thing. She wrote it right on the book.
I don't know. I can't read what she wrote, to be honest with you.
I read it through the picture you sent me.
Could you?
It's Udini right at the top, because then you said it. I thought you knew.
Well, I said it because you asked me if I spoke Jawa, and that's
no.
The only
I said,
word
did you get a translator?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. I said, no, I speak Bocce. I speak fluent Jawa. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said Udini, right? Cause that's the only Udini. Word. Udini.
Yeah.
Did you reckon that says that in the script?
I don't know. Or it's just improvised by one of those kids or whoever that was running around.
Oh, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that
it was
exciting.
Neat. Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah,
good
it was
for neat. You.
I was good glad I was you. There, you know, because I mean, I take days off. And
yeah,
again,
usually
I didn't know
the big stuff happens when you're not there.
Yeah, always. Yeah, always. Like, if I take a Saturday off, something happens or
big sales.
Know, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah.
Cool.
I was glad I was there.
Yeah, but John isn't the only person who's had visitors this week, though, is he, Deej?
Who, you've had visitors yeah. as well. I was like, who did I have? And Dan's going, me. Yeah. I was like, yeah, Udini. That was Udini. Yeah. Dan's a little taller.
Yeah.
He's a bigger individual. Yeah, Dan's like my height. Yeah, that was awesome. It was just... And did you get to hear either of the recordings or anything or towards the end?
Not today. I haven't.
No, it wasn't available until about 4 p.m. here. And by that time I was back home and busy. So yeah, I'm aware it's there. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
I am working on that. And when I say that, all I can do is talk to Martin and say, fix this.
But yeah, it was late. It was about, it was well afternoon anyways.
Right.
Before I saw it.
But like I said, it's always on the website. But when we recorded, I told him towards the end of the podcast that we recorded, I was like, now I'm going to come clean and be honest and be like, yeah, I pretty much took the day off from work that he showed up because he came here for like 4:30. And I'm like, I cleaned everything. I got the house ready. I got all this. And I went out and I bought all new candy for the thing and everything. I put popcorn in the popcorn maker. I made everything. It's not cheap. It's the reason I needed to do all that is because we use it, right? And it's gone. So I wanted everything to be fresh. And then like a donkey, you're just so excited. I don't know how to do this stuff, right? And he goes, he says in the podcast, he goes, I wanted some candy. Those junior mints were calling my name. I go, you should have taken some. And he goes, you didn't offer them. I'm like, oh yeah, I probably should have said, take whatever you want. But yeah. I didn't say it. We were just... And you can hear, we just had a blast. And we recorded the whole thing. I was showing you guys the gear that we were using, but that was a lot of fun.
What we know, Deej, is that you're not a good salesman for, you know, add-on sales. You know, you had your chance to, recoup a little bit of cash with the,
yeah,
the
charge junior sales.
12 sell those junior mints. Yep.
Yeah. He gets out of his truck and he hands me that, you saw the wood burning thing. Mm. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, that's awesome. And I was like, how did you do this? And he bought a laser burner and it's, you know, so he can just put the thing in and it'll burn it for you. Cause I've been wood burning since I was a little kid and, I've done it even recently. And, I was like, wow, you got a steady hand. He goes, no. It's just, so he's like, yeah, welcome to Brightside Home Theater. It looks pretty cool. Yeah. So that's on display right outside of the theater room.
I've got some clients that do wood burning and they end up getting arrested.
Yeah.
But you know, it's fine.
Well, he goes, it'll etch, like it'll burn designs into the wood. He goes, or it'll cut wood. I was like, how strong is this laser? And he goes, oh, it's going to be really thin wood. I go, oh, so you're not like cutting a log in half. And he goes, no. I go, yeah, that's like lightsaber level.
Yeah. If you miss, you're cutting the wall down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. When does it stop?
Your support beam is gone.
Yeah. Strapped to, Jen has got you strapped to a table saying, do you expect me to talk, Jen?
No. It goes right through the floor into the basement. Yeah. Whoops. Oh, so, but yeah, I had a lot of fun. So, looking forward to doing more of those, getting out and seeing more people and stuff. But yeah, that was a blast. So yeah. Udini. But gonna lead the show off like we did last week, similar to the HT guys. It's just kind of become the thing, you know, you buy a box of popcorn and you leave a pop. They have a $25 limit. We're not that picky around here. They, if you buy them a $25 cup of coffee, you get your comment read. You just buy us a box of popcorn of any size, you'll get your comment read right at the front of the show. So, we have, this is from Steve A, and the title of this is a box of, or popcorn is on the way. And he says, great show this week. The new 2-hour slot works well for me to try to join live, but I certainly don't want to overplay my chats, as I do hope there's time to get through all the viewer contributions. Oh, that's the comment. There we go. I'm not going to further debate the value of the Kaleidoscape. If I was 20 years younger, I'd probably be joining you. I admit to be more into the audio side of HT than video, so it's always hard for me to talk about blooming, crushed blacks, HDR plus, etc. But happy to learn what drives others. Just finished Train to Busan, an interesting movie. I'm not a big zombie guy, but the picture was engaging to the end. I really need to pay more attention when watching foreign language flicks. Steve. So, what are you giggling about over there?
Well, he talks about how he's more of an audio guy and then just talks about the picture.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing as I was reading it, but I'm wondering if he meant like the picture as in the film, the movie, right? Like, okay. It, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, no, so, that makes sense. Yeah.
I didn't want to jump on that, but I'm glad you did, because it is pretty funny. Like, I'm more about audio, but the picture was amazing. But I'll go first. I've always said I'm more audio guy, always have been audio guy, but it wasn't. And I emailed him back, thanked him for the box of popcorn. And I said, it wasn't until later when 4K became more affordable that I could actually appreciate and really get into the video side of it. I do still lean heavily towards audio. I think that's a big part of the experience. And I think it's the huge part that the new Apple product people are talking about is like, oh, spatial audio. Yeah. It doesn't compare to being in a theater. So that's out the window for our home theater fans. But yeah, I'm heavily to the audio side, but as you know, you can't ignore how good the picture has gotten over the years and what we're experiencing now streaming and physically. So where do you lean, Steve?
Well, Steve, firstly in the chat, Stephen in the chat says the film. So you were right, Deej.
There you go.
That's the first thing. So there we go. So mystery solved. That didn't take long. Yep.
Nope. Not at all.
That's not going to be one for the ages. I would have said to you, until recently-ish, I would have said I'm more into the picture. I'm more into the visuals than the audio. But I have to admit, in the past 2-3 years, and again, this is because of this podcast, really, and the show is – I've learned to appreciate the audio more, if that makes sense. So and I think now it is about the same for me. I want it to look and sound great. I don't want either or if I can avoid it. But traditionally I would have said it's more about the picture to me. But yes, I'm more coming towards parity now than I ever have been. I think we've been spoiled. So I now want both. I don't want one or the other anymore. And well, if I don't get it, then it's not good.
yeah. It's like, I do lean towards audio and I'll, if the picture isn't 100% perfect or isn't up to snuff, but I have a great audio experience, I'm happy with that. But of course you want both. And it's the best of both worlds is awesome. So John, how about you?
Yeah. I've always said audio as well. And I used to think it was by a large margin, like 70-30. But again, the more these things keep improving, I'm sliding more towards parity as well. And I think, it's kind of where we're all sitting now. Now it's probably 60-40. And I can imagine a day soon-ish where it'll be 50-50. I don't know that I'll ever think it'll tip the other way for me. Like, I'll never get to a point where I think the video has surpassed the audio as far as importance goes, but I can see them being, like I said, pretty much at parity with each other.
Yeah. And it's like, Blue Wave, great comment. Of course. Because with DJ on this one, it's very rare somebody sides with me. He goes, but DJ and John, because John kind of, if the video is underwhelming, the audio can more than make up for it. And that's kind of how I've always felt, you know, and that I don't ever see an opportunity where I'd be like, you know, it's like, ah, you know, 2.0, but did you see that HDR? That was amazing, you know, or very low volume or something. It's like, I mean, here's a good example. We all talk about it. Ragnarok. It's got stunning visuals, but people like, I know I, for one, it's like every now and then I'll go back to it and be like, all right, let me try it. Maybe it's improved, but you know, but it hasn't, but
maybe it's got just stunning got better visuals. On its own.
Yeah. Exactly. It used to happen with my Chevette, John. I go out in the morning and it was running again.
Yes.
But you know what I mean? So it's like, it's one of those things that that was a great point, John. I don't ever see me tipping the other way. I just see me getting closer, similar to Steve coming closer to audio side. I don't see it tipping. And probably the same for you, Steve. Do you ever see where you'd think audio was more important? Or are you just...
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean? Feel certain movies, certain shows.
Well, where, you lean video first, right? And now you're coming towards audio. Do you ever see it tipping where you would say audio was the more important?
I don't think so. I think I know that sounds weird because everybody's suggesting audio, and of course that might be because it's home theater, and therefore theater almost by definition leans towards audio, doesn't it? But I think it, again, I'll just be the other way. I think I'm sort of probably 48, 58, 52 at the moment. Yeah. On math, say. Right, 48, 52 at the moment. That was a bit of a test. Yeah. In terms of kind of picture over audio, I want it to look amazing. I want to be able to look at it like it's a piece of art, you know, that it just looks fantastic. And now we're at a point where we can have both. And it's affordable now generally. And I think I certainly, and I think you guys will agree, we have been spoiled since 4K came out. The very first 4K disc I saw, which was in Cinema George, I've said before, that's the King Arthur, the Guy Ritchie one. When the Warner Brothers logo ran on the screen, and it was so bright and detailed, it was almost blinding. Mm. And that, I was just, my jaw hit the floor. And since then, and of course, that also has a blistering audio track to it, a proper beefy Dolby Atmos track to it. And, you know, I was hooked. So, I think parity is really where I'm at, I think. And I don't think I'll get to the point where it's audio over video. I just want both.
Right.
Well, I mean, and good. Again, actually, we go back to Raging Fire last week, where you guys had, you know, Atmos audio, Blu-ray to 1080p or 4K, and then, you know, or Atmos.
Yeah, you had both. That, right.
Yeah, but if that had been only, say, 7.1 or 5.1, I would have gone for the 4K disc. And I'm even with, and then lose the Atmos, I would have done that. So that, yeah. So I suppose I still definitely lean towards the picture.
It's what's funny about that, though, too, is streaming the video is pretty close to what physical is. It is pretty close, but what we usually do is be like, it's not even close with the audio.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, I got, even if it's Atmos on the stream, you'd take the 5.1 on the disc if it, because you know it's going to be more dynamic. Now, Van Gool has this comment. I'm not sure what he means by this. Now, Van, are you saying that the 5.1 is a detriment? Because I would argue, and I have, Dark Knight and Tenet are some of the best audio tracks out there. Don't get hung up on Atmos and versus 5.1, because they're all capable of the same frequencies. Christopher Nolan just chooses not to use object-based. But, I mean, Tenet, that's a super dynamic. Whether you don't like the movie or not, whether you understand it, which I don't. That's a super dynamic audio track, and the same with the Dark Knight, you know, and most of it, I can't wait for Oppenheimer. That's going to be insane. Mm-hmm. So, but those are amazing audio tracks that do add to those movies. So, but I'm not sure. Maybe that's what, maybe he was saying that, like how good they are. I don't know.
Yeah. But we are, you know, we are in the halcyon days of home theater where we no longer have to choose between the two. we can. And there are, you know, you and I, all three of us could probably rattle off 10 discs now and all different. I'm not going to say we do it, but 10 discs now where you've got both. Looks great, sounds great, and you don't have to choose. And, and those are always going to be the discs we lean towards. So 10 of the dialogue's hard to hear. Yeah.
That's his choice. Nolan said that. He's done that. He did that on purpose because the purpose of the movie is to just be following. It's like you're supposed to be into the movie and it's like you're like really focusing on it. But yeah, that's a that has nothing to do with 5.1 versus Atmos. That's a artistic choice. Mm. So all right. Are we ready to get to our HT experiences for this week? We've got a few. Yeah. All right. All right, boys. What do we want to lead off with?
Dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. Bring us up to date, Steve.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'll do this super quick then because we are a little behind time. So this is
talking for that those, fast voice.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, don't tempt me. I do occasionally lead little laps into that. So House of the Dragon update. We should have. Tell you what, Deej. Bear in mind, we've got a few more to watch and a few more weeks. It'll take me. You need a. Yeah. You need a sounder for this. Yeah. House of the Dragon update.
There we go. I'll have get a dragon roar or something.
It's like what we did with John with his Game of when you rewatch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, every week
we had another update.
Every week I had another season or so.
Yeah.
So now this is episodes 3 to 5, which I watched now. So yeah, halfway through, excellent is what I would say. Really, really enjoying this. Looks great, sounds great. There's a lovely little bit in episode 5 where two dragons come at the screen and they both swoop from up high to down low and they come past the screen. And on both of those, you can hear it go from the far distance right to the back of the room and beyond. And it was such a cool effect. Not quite enough to make me duck, but it was the swoop was fantastic.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Well, they didn't come over the screen. They came to the side of it.
Right.
But it was such a cool effect. It's really, really good. I'm really enjoying it. This is a great series. But haven't yet got to the problematic bits.
I don't think episode seven, but you probably won't notice them as problems.
You'll just see how good they are and be like, I can see why it's a problem, but they're going to, I think you'll just really enjoy them.
It is good. I think, isn't there a time jump now between this and 6?
Next episode, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah,
10 years or so.
Yeah, so do they recast the female characters but not the males?
Only two. They recast two characters. Yeah.
A little bit naughty in this day and age, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. You know.
Yeah, I thought they did well with it. Well, but think by now you're really attached to the two actresses you had. And then it's a little jarring when it switches, but you get used to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but it's really cool. This is I love how this looks and sounds exactly like this is Game of Thrones season 9.
Right.
You know, it's just straight. It looks so well done. Because if you think about it, they could have very easily stripped back on the budget for this because they're not going to know whether this is going to work or not. And you could see HBO going, well, we're going to give you half the budget for season that you've had for season 8. And yet if they have, you wouldn't know it. You know, it looks absolutely incredible. So yeah, really, really pleased with this.
Probably had the same budget or more.
it certainly looks that way. You know, it looks absolutely brilliant. All the little stitching on the costumes, the armor, the work that's gone into it is
spared no expense.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, quite absolutely
no expense.
Yeah, absolutely Jurassic Park special.
You know what really irritated me though, as I was watching this on disc, is now that I wasn't going to spoil the fact that they changed actresses, but you already know, that graphic that you're looking at continues on for the back half of the series,
right?
Even though she's not the actress anymore. And every time I saw it, it irritated me because I liked her.
She is good. She is very good. No, it's a great series. I'm loving this. My only worry is I'm trying to now ration them because I've only got 5 more, and then it's 18 months before we get any more.
Or at least
might be longer. Now. Yeah, probably yeah, longer, yeah. Of course.
Well, yeah. I heard today they're expecting the strike to go till September or October. So, That means we get nothing for 2 years at least.
So they'll be recasting all the characters by the time they get to season two.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not having to renew contracts in the middle of that, because that's when shows die. Because that's what happened to a lot of shows in the last strike.
Doesn't the SAG come out today as well? So the Screen Actors Guild are joining?
I think they're going to strike too, yeah. They're joining them. But the directors did not. The directors struck a deal. So... but I mean, if you don't have writers or actors, I don't know what the directors are directing. So to me, they should have kept the solidarity, you know, because now everybody's going to be looking at them like, what's up with you, Joe?
All righty.
Yeah, it's great. Very good. Very, very good.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. So, all right. Let me see. What else do we have here? Well, actually, John, you only have the one, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. Let me, I'll get this one out of the way really quick, because we'll wrap up probably with the other one. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Ah, fantastic. As always. When was the last time you guys watched this?
Oh, been about 2 years, probably.
Last week.
Oh, you did. You didn't put it in your notes?
I mentioned it. No, I mentioned it last week. Oh, okay. Yeah. A couple of times. Yeah. I figured that I wasn't sure we were going to go into it, but yeah, no, I watched it in 4K and Atmos on the disc. Movie's great. We know that. No one's going to say otherwise, are they?
No.
Sensibly. No.
I was watching it and I'm going through and I'm like, I reviewed this a couple of years ago. It was 2021, something like that. I reviewed it on disc and in the 3D version. But this was probably my first time going through the entire thing on the Kaleidoscape. And I'm like, the scene where it's fairly early on, like 4 minutes, and he's in the back seat of his dad's cruiser. And it's like the conversation and the way the voices move. It's just so much cleaner now. So it's like with the SVS and everything, all the upgrades I've done, I'm like, damn. And it's, I'm starting to come around. This one, I think you and I talked about before you were on the show, and we went back and forth with 3D versus 4K and which is which. And you're like, no, a good 4K is better. And I'm really starting to come around on that, because it's 3D is nice, but it's just the 4K, and you see the artwork and you see what they're doing. And it's just, it's so good. And it really shines in this movie. I can't wait for the other one to get to the homes, because I don't think the contrast you get in the theater is the same as what we get at home. As a matter of fact, I know that. but yeah, it's this thing is so, so good. There's so many great scenes in it. Another one, it's like, obviously watching the thing from beginning to end. It's like, but the one that and again, this happened, and I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, here comes that scene, because I made a big deal about it back then. And it's one of those little things, and it's like, it's a subtle scene, and it's like an hour into the movie or so, and the screen door closes, and Aunt May had just kicked it open. They're all walking out to the shed, and you can hear that screen door going off to the side. It's just... there's so many subtle things, and I love that when they do that in movies like this. But it was a lot of fun to go through. I'll save my comments for the next one. But
we did say Into the Spider-Verse. This is not Across the Spider-Verse. That's coming later. So just
Into the Spider-Verse. That, you know, that's been out for a while. Spoilers. It's you know, Miles Morales and all of that. But it's really, really, I mean, if you haven't seen the other one yet, see this first. If you've seen it, go back and revisit this. And I'll talk more about that later.
Just before you get rid of that graphic, Deej.
Yeah.
Turtle Odyssey?
Comes with it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it comes with the Kaleidoscape. Yeah. Yeah, it's a that's one of those
you didn't IMAX need to make space enhanced or anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's such a small file. I've just never taken it off because it came with it. It's like, if you look at my first discs that I have, there's that one. I can't remember what the other one. It is a plane one, fighter planes, old timey fighter planes, and then there's Star Wars. Those were my first purchases. But every you know, Kaleidoscape comes with those already loaded.
Do we believe him, John? Is this an excuse? Is this the dog?
You know what's funny is I actually have the disc too. I own the disc of that.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
That it was one of the first IMAX enhanced discs that you could get. It was, you know, like when they come out with a new medium, like it's usually the Discovery channels or a Nature channel and be like, here, watch this. And that was one. That's not in IMAX enhanced, by the way. It looks fantastic, but I bought the Turtle Odyssey because I wanted the IMAX enhanced to see what that was all about. I wanted to experience that.
Turtly awesome, is it? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm pulling that image down.
Before we see anything else we're not supposed to see.
Yeah. all right, I'll get Steve going here on to other topics. There we go. Tell everybody what it is.
Film of the year. That's all I need to say. Oh, sorry.
not crazy. Oh.
Yeah. This is, there's two of us against one. John, back me up here.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Film of the year.
So this is Cocaine Bear. That title again, in 4K HDR, but only DTS HD master audio.
That's a shame. But
that doesn't matter. And I'll tell you why in a minute. So film is great. Loved it. This is my third time around with it now. But first time in the cinema room properly, and in 4K, and it's just as good, if not better. The more I watch it, the more I enjoy it, and I really enjoyed it the first time. So it's great. All kinds of little things I missed first time or second time, I'm now seeing now again. Lots of little things, little details that I've missed. So film holds up brilliantly. The 4K is, as you already know, Deej. All right, but the 4K is beautiful. It is stunning. You talk about 3D and 3D movies. This thing looks 3D from second one, where you get this, you've got that's not strictly true because there's a little bit of a plane thing in night first. But as soon as you see the first clear daytime shot, this looks like looking out of a window and it never lets up. You can tell it was shot at 4.5, 5K, because it just looks phenomenal. And I put four pictures up on Twitter of the first 5 minutes because it just was like shot after shot after shot, looked amazing. So this is exceptionally good in 4K. Sorry, John.
I
wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. I mean, it looks absolutely phenomenal. And also what I was surprised about is how well the effects held up as well. You know, bear in mind, this is a CG bear and it still looks great. Yeah, but bear in mind how difficult that would be to do. If you think about it, it could look really fake, and yet I think it holds up really well.
Yeah.
So that's great. Now the audio. Okay. So we talked about 5.1 Dolby Atmos and the differences between the two. Now bear in mind this was 5.1 up mixed to Neural X, and it sounded to me, might be biased, sounded to me like a Atmos mix.
Yeah.
Because there are numerous times in this where things subtly creep into the overheads, where you've got movement around. In one particular scene where there is a character being munched in a tree. And what happens is the camera cuts to someone else and you can then hear, I mean, gross, but it's great, is this, you can hear munching going on above you and to the side of you on the wall, and I put it back a couple of times, and luckily the scene cuts back and forth two or three times anyway, and it sounds fantastically
gross. Isn't that great?
You can hear the crunching and the snapping of the bones and the sinews and everything else, and it's right here, you know, to the right above you, and then you've got, you know, the noise of the general kind of stuff of the forest and everything else, the guns that all sound like cannons, even when they're small little revolvers, which is quite a fun thing as well. But they're really powerful when they don't need to be. And the music as well. And of course, there's a lot of music in this, also just sounds great. So for the 5.1 mix matters not. If you've got the capability of Neural-Xing this, you are, again, might be biased, but it felt to me like an Atmos mix right the way through. So I'm very glad it did, because that was my one caveat about buying the 4K disc. But no, it sounds great. Really, really enjoyed it. I love the movie, love the disc. There's the question from Van Gool, isn't it? So yeah. Van Gool says, should I buy the Maximum Rampage edition on Blu-ray? What do you think, guys? Is it out there yet, by the way, on disc? Has it come out, or is it coming out?
Let me look.
But yeah, well, that's the dilemma, because I have the same question. You know, do I want to pay the extra to import the 4K with a 5.1, or just get the Blu-ray with 5.1? You know, because the audio is going to be the same.
Yeah, no, the Blu-ray's got Atmos. So you get Atmos, you know, you get Atmos.
Maximum Rampage does not. It has OTS Master Audio 7.1.
That's right.
Oh, I see. 7.1. Sorry. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so it's actually got a little bit better audio, but again, we're going to upmix it anyway, so you're not going to notice the difference.
It's such a playful sound mix as well. It's great.
The question is going to be, is the Blu-ray video going to deliver the same as the 4K? And I would imagine not, but what's the difference? Because you're talking about a $20 to $25 price difference. Yeah, and to import this thing is $40, $45. You know, this thing in a month will be $15 on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's
$15 right now.
Is it?
Amazon has it for $14.99, Maximum Rampage Edition. I'm looking at it right now.
So that's the thing. Is it worth the $25 extra bucks to get the 4K?
Right.
I mean, I wish I could say it was an easy choice. You know, I mean, I think anybody in the UK, it is an easy choice. You should get the 4K. If you're in Europe, get the 4K disc, because you're not going to have to pay these crazy import prices and the thing. But if you're in the States, it's a really tough choice. I mean, I think I can't imagine a world in which we get 4K here and the US does not. I just can't see that. And so it's got to be coming out there. It just has to be.
Right. But that's the thing. Are we waiting for the 10-year anniversary? You know what I mean? It's like
Cocaine Bear 2.
You think we'd already have it. You know, there's no reason to not have it already.
Yeah. Not have it. And it's elsewhere, even in the States.
But yeah, you're right.
Digitally, it's out in 4K.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you can stream
it.
Really
odd that we don't have it, but
I mean, well, as I said, it's an easy choice over here because it's great. but right. There, I don't know. Well, John, if you do decide you want it, then let me know and I'll put it in there, and we'll expose ourselves to the feds when it says cocaine on the parcel that we're sending.
I know it.
Yeah. They won't read the second word. Cocaine.
I'll be lucky if I get it.
It is one of those things that we've talked about where do you need the Atmos? And obviously I experience it all the time because the discs will come with Atmos or DTSX, but then the Kaleidoscape will have the 7.1 or the 5.1. And when you upmix it, really, what's the difference? And because especially some of these older catalog titles where, and we've speculated, we have no idea. We're just throwing literally spitballs at the wall trying to figure this out. But I can't imagine they're taking like what I'm going to talk about. Well, not that it has it, or Bloodsport. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And you have it in Atmos. I don't think they sat down with Bloodsport and retracked the entire thing with an object based audio track, you know, and said, we want this sound. No, they just run it through the same process that our receivers do and upmix it and label it an Atmos track. And that's so they're doing it on their end, or we're doing it on our end. And very similar to what they do with streaming, they'll tell you, we're streaming this in 4K, like a sporting event. They're shooting it. They don't have 4K cameras at the stadiums, right? So they shoot it in 1080, they upconvert it and stream it out as 4K, which is what your television does in the first place.
Right.
So which is which? It's like, you know, so it's one of those things that it's like, are their processors better than our processors? And from our experience, every time you and I talk about this, or we talk about this, we're like, I can't tell that this sounds amazing. You know, you get all the overheads, you get all the perfect placements. I just think people get hung up on that moniker, that, you know, that Atmos or DTS:X, and it's like, oh, that's going to be great. You know, I see people all the time like, oh, DTS:X is so much better than Atmos. I just wish there was more of it. Well, that's why you think it's better. It's very rare. it's like me doing the dishes. It's great when I do it. I just don't do it.
So. Yeah, it is tricky with this one, though. I get that. I and as I said, John, honestly, if you do decide to pull that trigger, mate, just let me know, and I'm more than happy to go get it. Right. I can have it in the post to you same day. But you know, it's I wish I could say. Part of me was hoping that maybe it didn't look that great. Maybe right. It looked like just an upmixed Blu-ray, and then it's an easy choice. But
right.
5 minutes in.
To be fair, you'd have to see the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And you have, you know what I mean? Like, did it come with the Blu-ray?
Yes.
Take a look.
Yeah.
Take a look. Report back.
That's true. Yeah.
You can take a look. Take a look. Report back.
Let me double check. 2 seconds. Let me double check.
Oh, here we go.
No. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And yeah. Is the Blu-ray in the 7.1?
It just says DTS HD. It's not. It's DTS Master Audio 5.1.
That's weird. So not even the same Blu-ray.
Yeah, it might be a different mix.
That's odd.
No, I don't know. And it's also called the Maximum Rampage Edition. Just to be really bloody confusing.
So it's same as the Blu-ray.
So Paul's got a comment. Paul Hurt, our professional sound mixer over there, says a certain major music festival I used to work on was advertised as 5.1, but they wanted me to mix it in stereo. Then they were going to use an up mixer for 5.1. Right. It's like, okie dokie. So, I mean, but then the people on the other end are like, this 5.1 sounds great.
Right.
It's like, enjoy the experience, people. Don't get hung up on labels.
Yeah. Well, quite. Yeah.
And I was talking more about our podcast, but.
But it is frustrating, though, isn't it? I mean, again, first world problems. But still, it is a little bit frustrating.
Well, it's like, you're gonna talk about Bloodsport in a minute. That's $70 for me.
Oh, from Germany?
To get it in 4K, yeah.
To get that disc from Germany, it's $70.
Yeah.
And it's man, I love Bloodsport, but I don't know if I love it. $70.
You would be angry.
I don't like it more than Lawrence of Arabia. Well, actually, I do like it more than Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, no, you don't. Wait till we talk.
Yes, you do.
I don't know. I'm on Steve's side, DJ. You're not going to talk me down.
Wait till you hear Steve's side. I'm not talking you down. I liked it, too. I love it. It's fantastic.
But I've seen it,
and that's what I'm, John, I know how much you love a dollar.
I do.
Mine 70 of them.
We'll get to it.
All about
we're
the
having too much fun here. Too much fun today. Do you want me to do you want me to do my one single before you, John? Why don't you go? There you go.
Have a ton to say about this. I know that means Steve said we could talk forever. I guess we could, but this is Scream 6. I saw it on Paramount Plus, I believe. Streaming 4K HDR. It did have Dolby Atmos. I watched Scream 5 recently. I had never seen either one. Hadn't seen this either. I liked it quite a bit, though. I know opinions are mixed on this movie, but I actually enjoyed it. I thought the stream was pretty decent. Again, the video was pretty good quality, and I thought the Atmos was okay. You know, it had its requisite, creepy sounds and, jumps and things like that. I'm sure the disc is a lot more dynamic. But for something that I wasn't quite sure I was going to want to own, I just wanted to see. I was happy with the stream overall. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I was partially right on the killer on this one, but I didn't figure the whole thing out. Which I was glad that I didn't. But I was right on at least one of them. Like I said, overall, if you haven't seen these movies and you like them, I think this one was a worthy follow-up to Scream 5. and possibly a Scream 7 if I read the ending correctly. So I don't know, Steve, I can't remember whether you said you liked it or not.
I saw a screener, so I didn't. Okay. I saw it was 1080p, but it was a very good quality stream that they on this disc that they provided. So it looked really good, but the sound was only 5.1, and on this one it was wasn't that great. And I watched it in the front room. I didn't see it in the cinema room.
Okay.
So I can't speak to the picture or sound really, although I'm looking forward to seeing it when it comes out on disc. Right. Yeah, I was a little mixed on it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I a bit like you. I did enjoy it. I think 5 is better.
I do too. Yeah, I do too.
But it was okay. It just at times it was a bit too Scooby-Doo, and they always flirt with that anyway.
Little interjection here. That's my newest my first grandpup, Meg and Greg got a dog and they named him Scooby-Doo. Nice. Yeah, he's named Scooby-Doo. He looks like Scooby-Doo too. He's got a huge head. It's adorable. But go ahead. Sorry. You said Scooby and I went, oh, I love Scooby.
That's it. So when they feed him, do they give him Scooby snacks? That's what I want to know.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Next one's got to be Scrappy.
I did dig the subterfuge at the beginning of the movie when the young lady on the screen was killed and instantly the killer was revealed.
Yes.
With their face. Yeah. And I was like, well, and then of course other things happen, but
that was unusual, wasn't it?
They just put it all out on Front Street here, but so that was interesting.
What I found was a little bit problematic for me was that there were characters that seemed to get stabbed a lot and then they were death's door and then the next scene they're fine.
There was definite plot armor for some of those guys.
just once or twice, and as it got on, that became a little bit more of a problem. But but no, it's fun. And look, the disc is out here, I think early July, and I'll be picking it up for sure. Yeah. I mean, I've got 1 and 2 in 4K, 3 I don't like, 4 is not great either for me, and then 5 and 6 I've got 5 in 4K, and I'll get this one for sure. I think I'll enjoy it even more second time.
I think it'll be a good disc, honestly.
July 11th, it's out here.
Oh, there you go. So I think we've got it. Yeah, I think we get it. Might be on the 10th, then the day before. I think it's something like that. But I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I must admit.
I haven't seen 5 yet. I can't believe they came out with a 6 before but I keep saying that. But I'm like, I'm like, oh my god, 6 is out, and how did I miss even just watching 5? Because I love the Scream series. Yeah, it was like Steve. It's like they got a little bit bad in the middle, but I still like them. I mean, they're fun. They're fun, you know.
I had a massive issue with Scream 3 because there's a point where the electricity is cut in a house.
And they shoot it in Spain. Movie of the year. You're taking right out of it because you know where it is.
When I'm shooting a Japanese
cocaine bear.
When I'm shooting a Japanese epic in your back garden, Deej, right, I'll show that to you, and you can go, "Oh, that didn't look like Japan."
That wasn't a Japanese epic.
No, it was.
Analogy, DJ.
Yeah. Oh, I went literal. Yeah, I was like, "Huh?"
You throw me now. I forgot what I was saying. Yeah, yeah, whatever, something like that. But, So they cut the electricity in the house in part 3 for some reason, but they're still receiving faxes. So I haven't quite figured out that they get a fax
phone
machine
lines.
After the electricity.
Phone
is
lines.
Cut,
like, that's what. Yeah.
Yeah, but the fax machine.
They still had to plug in electric,
yeah.
though.
Yeah,
they still had to have electricity.
So anyway, but and that's the one that Jay and Silent Bob turn up in is number 3, albeit very briefly.
Spoilers. Patrick Stewart in it too.
Well, out of time. So
Steve.
It's worth seeing. I think you'll enjoy 5 and 6. I think you'll.
Oh,
like
I do
it.
Too. I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. Put them on the list for Halloween.
I'll probably. Who knows?
I'll pick up both of these discs now that I've seen them. Because I wasn't
there'll
sure
be a box
if
set.
I would. Yeah.
There is already a box set that's been announced
for 1 through 6.
I think
just 5,
five
and
6. Yeah,
because right now you can get 1 and 5, I think, on a
one
double
and two.
Disc.
One, oh, I see. Oh, yeah. 1 and 2 are available,
right?
In 4K, and then
but I think there's a double disc of like 1 and 5 because
that's
they're
weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
There's a nice steel book. We'll have these coming up in a few weeks. Yeah, there's a nice steel book. I'm looking for a box set. I don't see any.
But if there's a box set, like basically just a 5 and 6, I'll pick those.
Right.
I'll
pick it up. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen that. I could have swore I saw that on Amazon or something.
Yeah, I don't see it there. But,
yeah, right. Okay. I might have misread it. But yeah, there we go.
All right. Let's see. What do we got coming up next here? We have Boom.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. That was it. It was a good time. It was Beverly Hills Cop in 4K with DTS Master Audio 5.1. And it was a lot of fun. I wanted to get back to I think it was you talking about Nice Guys and, you know, getting back into comedies in our theaters and stuff. And I had skimmed through this just to take a look at the image quality and stuff when it came out in 4K. And then, but now I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and watch this whole thing. And it's so good. It's so, you can't make this movie today.
no.
most of his stuff you can't make, but his stand-ups and everything. But it's, I would say the audio is definitely, 80s audio. The music is awesome in this. The open was really, really cool. It's like, it's a, your screen is just dark and you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you just quietly start to hear Detroit. And then I don't even know if they increased the volume on that or not. It's just like, just very quiet. And then I think some graphics come up for, like credits come up. And then you see the city and now you're hearing the noise, the city noise a little bit more. And then, you get Glenn Frey, the heat is on, it just cranks. And you're like, oh, wow. It's not your big, Lucy opening, but it was awesome. It was really, really cool. And, but then what I liked, when was the last time you saw this, Steve?
I've got the 4K disc. So I watched probably whenever it came out, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, something like that.
Have you seen it, John? In 4K?
Have I seen it? Yes. Have I seen it in the last 25 years? No.
I think you and I watched it together a bunch of times.
Yeah. I haven't picked up the disc for one or two yet.
So the movie starts out like the first 20 minutes of the movie take place in Detroit, as everybody knows. And, you see Patrick Stewart in the background a couple times.
Right.
But it looks nice. And you're like, oh, okay, look in the background, you could see the smog. So you're like, oh, the 4K HDR, it's nice. But it was like when they get to Beverly Hills and you see the vibrancy up a notch and everything, just everything looks nicer. I don't know if they did that on purpose with the 4K disc. I don't know if that's just because of the colors in the two different locations. That's what happens. But I found it to be very, part of the movie, Detroit's a little grimy. Beverly Hills, that the way they portrayed it, especially their offices and stuff, the police offices, and you went through the police office in Detroit and you're like the police headquarters and you're like, oh, it just looked old school. But then you go to Beverly Hills, everything's sharp and crisp and clean, and the way they do everything out there. Even at the end, when they're doing the wrap-up report, that you are lying your ass off. I love that line. or when the police chief comes over and goes, what's he doing here? Bleeding, sir. It's like he's just Eddie Murphy's been shot. Just when they're saying all those lines, and just look at the lush greens and the flowers in the background, everything, it just looks awesome. But for sound, at 57 minutes, the dot matrix printers, remember, you could just hear them going all around there in the office there off to the sides. It's not super enveloping. I didn't get a lot behind me, but I got a lot of sounds to the sides, off screen towards the front, came down into the room a little bit. but it was really, really cool hearing, and just hearing those printers while they're talking away inside the police headquarters. It's pretty funny. So I had a lot of fun with it. It's so funny and, you know, just such a good time. So thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate the nudge towards comedy.
But it is good. And like I say, I like how the music envelops you. You know, just opens out with the upmix track. Doing the Neutron Dance, whatever it's called, the first song anyway. That's just absolutely
on the chase scene.
It's great. Yeah, although the 4K doesn't help that you can see it's clearly not Eddie Murphy who is being
his hair.
Yeah.
Oh, what about when he gets thrown out the window?
Yes.
It's like you could see the top of it. There's like a part in it and it's been combed. And I'm like, I'm wondering if it's like a black guy. It's like it didn't look like the right kind of hair for Eddie Murphy at all. And I'm like, what the heck is that? But yeah, 4K, it's kind of like the shark in Jaws. They weren't expecting you to see it was drawn on in Sharpie. Right.
Are you going to pick up the sequel now?
I already have it. I have them both. I have them both. I was actually going to roll right into it. I just didn't have time. Because I actually prefer the second one better. I found it to be funnier.
Yeah. It's shot by Tony Scott. So, of course, you've got directed and shot by Tony Scott. And it does look very different. But it's well worth seeing. The 4K disc on that's great as well. And again, the audio on that does the same sort of thing. The music just fills the room.
You know, it does. Great. And it also, it recesses back, like, towards the front. Like, when some dialogue comes up, you can actually feel the music move away, but it's still there. But then all of a sudden, they'll be done with their dialogue, and it goes, and it comes right in with over your head again. It was really nice. And there's a lot of great songs, obviously, throughout this thing. But yeah, I always found the second one, because it's to be a little bit more enjoyable, because it was like more of the buddy cop thing, because they all got along. They all loved each other at this point. And that's the fun part about this one, is watching them get to that point at the end. It's pretty funny. His car has never looked crappier than in 4K with HDR.
You can see all that. Well, wait till you get to the Ferrari in the second. It looks absolutely fantastic.
All right. That's it for Beverly Hills Cop, the first one from 1984, right?
Yep.
84, yeah. Crazy. All right. We ready to... all right, here we go. I'm not ready. Are you ready, John?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, John. Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
So, greatest film ever made.
If you live in a vacuum.
Yeah. So this is Bloodsport, the 1988 stone cold instant classic that was and is Bloodsport. And we've got some differing experiences here, haven't we? Not only in terms of the film, but in terms of I saw this on the, again, this is the, for those watching, this is the German 4K edition of the movie with Dolby Atmos, and you've got the Kaleidoscape 1080p DTS HD
2.0. Yes. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Let me hide that for a second. Kaleidoscape 1080p with DTS Master Audio 2.0, which actually is fine. It just means your LFE still works. It takes all your your lower frequencies go there. It just meant that it kind of sounds crappy, but at the same time, do you really think that on your version that there's a low frequency effects channel engaged here? No. pretty funny. But yeah, it's 2.0.
And on your review, then, what does the O stand for? Oh, God, what am I watching?
No, I like 2.0. The movie. But do we want to get into the movie and then we'll do the experience, or we'll go out on a high note? How about that?
All right, let's do this. Okay, so all right, well, let me deal with the 4K HDR first. The 4K on this is unexpectedly fun. And I use that word deliberately because it's not, you know, I mean, the movie was low budget when it was shot. Hmm. It was at a time when it's a canon movie. Right. So of course you all remember, we were all of an age when you saw that canon logo, you were like, I know what I'm in for. Well, you know, and I think of Enter the Ninja and I think of American Ninja and I think
Ninja. How does that play today? I love that movie.
We think of Delta Force and we think of, you know, Invasion USA and all these movies that started with a, you know, and even Cobra, you know, they start with the canon logo and you knew what you were going to get. Never very high budget, but they were going to be great. And so with this, so the HDR and the 4K is fun in as much as it reminded me of Roadhouse. Now, I'm going to qualify that because the Roadhouse disc is better in terms of the image quality. But what I mean by that is it's like a cartoon. Everything, the colors are heightened. The whites of his master, his Shudoshi, he calls him, is beautifully blown out, but it's meant to be, but it's crisp and white. The gis that they wear look fantastic. Every bead, you can see it there. In fact, every bead of sweat on their brows, you can see there is grain, but it's not obtrusive. But it heightens everything on an already very heightened movie. So it looks great as long as you watch it. How would I put it? Here's what I would say. It looks as good as I remember it looking.
Yeah.
So now we've talked about rose tinted spectacles and you suddenly watch something from years ago and it looks like crap. And you think, what the hell? This looks every bit as good as I remember it. So that's about that. That's as much as I can tell the 4K.
Let me ask you this then. Did they clean up some of the artifacts and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the little white poppings here
speckles,
and there.
Speckles are gone.
Yeah, and stuff.
Because
mine, and it looks good, right? Hmm. And this is one of the images that we watched a little bit of this with Danny Speakers. Hmm. And he was blown away. He's like, this looks amazing. And I'm like, yeah, but compared to other things right now, you know, and I'm like, look at all the speckles. He goes, yeah, but and then listening to him see it and experience the skin tones and the detail and the pores and the face and stuff. And I'm not even, I don't even get it in 4K, but I mean, it is a decent, it's decent enough looking, and that's a great way to put it in that it's like, it looks as good as it's ever looked. As you remember, because you like rose glass, like, oh, it probably is better than what we remember from back then too. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. I'm sure if we looked at a print from 1988, it would look dreadful. Yeah. But you know how your memory enhances everything.
It's, oh yeah.
You know, and so as I was watching it, I was
it enhanced a lot. We'll get to it, but
felt to me like I was back watching it again all those years ago for the first time, and the excitement and everything else. So it just looked great. And again, no speckles that I noticed, and I do notice those things again. More interested in the picture, and I didn't notice any of that. I didn't see any banding or any artifacting. Nice. There is grain, but it's fine. It's not swarming. It's not obtrusive.
All right.
I was really impressed.
Let me lead off with the audio then.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought the audio, even though it was 2.0, I didn't know it was 2.0 when I first started watching it. I just put it on. I'm watching it. I'm probably about 20 minutes into it. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, I was starting to, you know, make my notes on it or whatever. And I'm like, oh, what? And I had to, you know, I hit the little info button on the Kaleidoscape. I'm like, what do I, oh, it's 2.0. And then I went to, of course, I go to the Marantz app and I'm like, let me see. Cause it gives me, it tells you all your speakers that are, you know, highlighted, like your Denon, John and stuff. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, here, like what's coming into this thing? And I click on it and you just see those two speakers highlighted. And I'm like, man, but that's some up mixing right there. And I did feel like it was a little front heavy. It wasn't as enveloping as modern audio, but I thought it was good. The dialogue was fine. It was locked in the middle. You know, it was probably overly locked in the middle, where nowadays it feels like it moves a little bit better with the actors and stuff on the screen. But yeah, I just, I enjoyed it. I, you know, but it felt like something from the '80s could use some upmixing, but I thought the upmixing that I was getting, I was shocked it was 2.0. So how did you feel with the Atmos?
Okay. So, and Stephen has just said in the chat there, he said that he'd heard that the German version with Atmos wasn't all that engaging and curious to see what I experienced. Okay. So again, you have to, you hit the nail on the head. You've got to bear in mind its source and you've got to bear in mind its age and its budget. All of that's got to be taken into the, I was going to say put into the mix.
Right.
God, I'm punning for England tonight. Yeah. Anyway, so, but so, so not, notwithstanding that, it does what I would want it to do, which is the music. And there's actually surprisingly quite a few, you know, 80s hits in this. And so once it starts, the music fills the room front to back. And it's, again, I know I use this a lot, but it's like someone has taken hold of the music at the front of the room and just gone like that and just pushed it right through. And so suddenly you're not just in a small four-seater single skin garage. You're in a huge auditorium and you're listening to this, this just huge audio mix, which I thought was great and not what I was expecting in terms of the music. It was really fun. Now you then get most of the movies quite talky. Those phrase again, and actually is quite constrained until you get to the end. And it's quite constrained. So the music notwithstanding, which you get all this movement, that everything's quite talky, a lot of dialogue, not a lot of envelopment at that point until you get to the Kumite stuff. There's little bits of it in the middle and then you get a big lot at the end. And that actually has some quite fun Atmos effects. And of course, it would be the stuff that would be easy to mix. If, like you said, if you were in a, you're in a suite and you've just got a little Atmos button and you're just pushing speaker there, you know,
right.
could do this very easily because there's a couple of really fun little moments where Van Damme's on the mat, the tatami. And as you've got the crowd are on one side primarily and they're all cheering and everything else. So they're, you know, they're, and they're doing their thing. And as they, so on one thing, he's looking off to the, well, let's say looking off to my left, so his camera right, looking off, and you've got all the crowd all down one side of the room, right from the back overheads to the front, and then the camera switches to the other side, and it all goes down the other side of the room with a click of the fingers, which is actually quite a nice, engaging thing, and it's like, oh wow, okay, so it's moved with his perspective, and you wouldn't expect that on something from the 80s, you just wouldn't bother. The temptation would have been to put the voices all around you and no one would care. You wouldn't know. But it does that, which I thought was quite nice. And then when you get the crowd cheering towards the end, it then does envelop you right around, over the top, and right across the front. And that was pretty decent. Again, it's not modern track. You know, the LFE is minimal. You're not, it's not like with Raging Fire when those kicks and punches go in, you're feeling it, you know, the thuds in the bass. There's not really any of that. But what you do get though is envelopment and sound movement when you need it, which is in the fights at the end. So is it from the technical side of it, it's a solid disc. You know, it looks as good as I remember it. It sounds as good as I think I could reasonably expect, bearing in mind its vintage and age and everything else. And I was really pleased with it. And this is the disc. This is a disc that if someone comes round, as you did, someone says, Bloodsport, oh my God, I haven't seen that in ages. This is, you would immediately cue this up and go, well, watch this, at least with the 4K disc. And I think, you know, those people like we are that were kids at the time that loved this movie and, you know, would immediately is transported back to 1988 and those big dopey grins then, you know, develop and it doesn't let up for 96 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'd really enjoy it. I'm very glad I bought it, but it's damn expensive even here, let alone with you, John. You know, it cost me £35 here.
Yeah.
So you're talking, that's 42 bucks, something like that. Right. And that's, you know, so to get it then that extra 3,000, 4,000 miles, you know, is, you know, it is crazy money. And I get that. So I'm not sure it's worth $70 odd.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But
because the movie itself, you see it. It's like, and I wrote like my, one of my notes was like, it's like Conan, just not as bad. It's like, because like the parts of Conan that we didn't like, you're like, oh my God, like it makes you realize like, what were we thinking back then? Because the acting standards are so much better now. They're so much higher. Our expectation, I mean, it's the writing standards, the filmmaking has, everything has been elevated. Like everything is a stagnant shot of two people talking, you know, and you're just like, it, and it's, and like I said, I enjoyed it, but it really shows you how far they've come. But at the same time, you look at a movie like John, you mentioned earlier, Lawrence of Arabia, you're like, you see the filmmaking that went into something like that, where there are motion shots, there are action shots, the camera's moving, it's more engaging. This is just, even like the sets on this seem so small because they kept the camera still. And it was just like, you know, it's a lot of like, we've watched a lot of martial arts lately. I don't, you watch this movie, how did this look in 4K? You can, I mean, I could tell in 1080, not a single person was hit. It's like, you see every strike is like, and the guy goes, huh. and then the guy that does it, like when, you know, Van Damme does his swing, and then I had forgotten how much he loved to do that. You're like, oh yeah, there it is. I forgot about that. And it's just, but it's just like, it's so over the top with the acting. It's so like, I mean, Rocky had been out for what, a decade or more?
And yeah, 11 years.
And you could see that you could, you thought there was contact. Every single one of these, the only thing they didn't do was this, like where they hit the hand. Am I wrong?
Everything you just said. Everything you've just said is 100% right, but I love this film.
I do too. I do too. But I'm just trying to say, like, John, $70.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's like nostalgia.
So right. I should have. I haven't looked at the stream, but you could stream this right now.
Yeah,
I would say like check out the stream and be like, is it worth importing 4K for?
But Deej, you're talking to the wrong person in John in terms of the price of nostalgia. Look at all that stuff behind him.
Yeah.
That's collectible. And that's works, like, that's going to, and it's going to increase in value. He's rolled that into other things.
This is priceless.
I know John very well. This is priceless. Yeah. And that's worthless.
Maybe I'll trade my Lawrence of Arabia disc for this one.
There you go.
It's charming in its basicness. It is a little.
You sound like my mom trying to find me a date for the prom. He's charming. Look at him over there.
You're a bit old for that, mate. No. It's gone.
But I know. I just didn't want to go with her again.
I hope that wasn't Jen, and if it was, I hope she's not listening.
No, my mom.
Don't go with your mom to the prom. That's very odd.
It was. No.
It is charm personified. It is a little slice of when we were kids. It's great.
1988.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It it's such a good disc that it takes you back to it. And it's like it again, I'd put it with Roadhouse in terms of it the acting, terrible. Yeah.
Martial and if arts, you can get it for under $30, grab it.
There you go. But yeah, well, quite. If they release it over there, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? All mm-hmm. you know, everyone will pick it up. Yeah. I mean, really, sensibly, you know, this company that's released it in Germany ought to license it to someone over there because there's money to be made. Everybody on Twitter all week, no one has said. I mean, you and I have been backwards and forwards for a joke all week, and no one has come in and gone, "It's crap," and I hated that film. Right. Everyone's like, "God, I love that movie."
Yeah,
and some might say I haven't seen it for a long time, but everybody of a certain age, and that is us, loves this film because of what it represents and what we remember from the time. And when you say the words "Enter the Ninja," "American Ninja," you know, again, Invasion USA, Cobra, I would hope you could hear that Canon logo as well as visualize it. And as soon as you see it on the screen on this, you're right back there. So yeah, I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I'm not sure I pay $70 for it.
Yeah.
But
I think I paid 10 on Kaleidoscape. It's hard to see. I can't tell what, like, I'm looking it up right now. I don't know what it was.
Your other option, John, is next time you're in Europe, have a list ready.
I'm telling you, going back to Italy next year, I think so.
Just on the way over, just do a little layover in Munich.
England, yeah, or Germany, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. And then just pick them up as you go. And then, you know, load them up.
I'll get Twister, I'll get...
Daylight. Yeah,
Daylight, yeah. Under the Dragon.
You don't have Twister and Daylight yet?
No, I don't have either one of them.
I got those for like $70 total.
Twister is like $37 or so right now.
Yeah.
You can get them from the same place.
You can probably get, that's with shipping. I think I paid the first WV was the one that told me about that a few years ago, when it came out. Mm. And yeah, it's a fantastic disc.
Yeah, start working on your list, John.
I'm waiting on Twister. You know, I have a feeling we'll get Twister here in 4K when the new sequel comes out.
Right after you buy it. You import it. Right, yeah.
Well, and see, in Italy also has the 4K 3 Creed box set, which we don't have here in the US. It's like $70, $75. But that's for three movies. So yeah. I don't know. No, but the thing is, I can buy the three individuals here cheaper than that. So there's no incentive for me just to get a box to put them in.
It's you will go through the same thing I used to. Every time I come to the States, I had a separate suitcase, go to Best Buy back then, not so much anymore. And then just by the time I come back, it's full. So when you go to Italy,
you'll be for all my imports. Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Cocaine bear for sure.
Oh yeah. Have them all sent to the hotel ready for when you get there.
That's right.
There you go. All right. We ready to get to the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Show title, I assume.
Right. Mm. I think so, yeah.
Not Bloodsport.
Unless it's Bloodsport.
You know you want to, Deej.
I love the movie. Not like that. All right. Show title, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Who would like to go first?
Oh, John, go on. Jump in. You go
spoiler first. Free.
It's fantastic. I didn't have the best theater experience with this movie, but that's my theater choice more so than anything. I think, like the first movie on disc, this thing is going to be incredible when you get it on disc. All the things you love about the first one, they push to another level with this one. There's some super fun cameos. There's tons of Easter eggs. The soundtrack is phenomenal. I thought this was phenomenal. I really, really liked it. Like I said, I had a little bit of problems with the audio, which I think everybody did. I think there was a center channel issue in the first 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then also mine wasn't zoomed to fit the screen for some reason. Oh. So all the boxes that were showing up on the sides, I was only getting like the last half of whatever they were writing in those
word
boxes.
It was cropped?
Yeah, so it was not, like I said, it was too big for the screen.
So
it wasn't cropped correctly, or, you know, it wasn't sized correctly. So that was a bit annoying, although nothing they were putting in there was super story critical. I don't feel like I missed anything, but it was annoying to not have that. But yeah, again, spoiler free, I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was great. So,
Steve,
I really enjoyed it, but I need to see it again. I'm like you. The Gwen voiceover at the beginning, it's right at the beginning of the film. I don't think it's a spoiler. And it's been everywhere that there's a problem with it. I thought my ears had popped. I was trying to clear my ears. I thought that I was under, you know, like I'd not water. I thought maybe my ears had just bunged up and I needed, so I was holding my nose and trying to literally unpop my ears without blowing an eardrum. I just thought it's me. It can't be anything else.
Yeah.
And I was very gratified afterwards to see that it wasn't just me. My only issue with it is, it is very stuffed with plot. I think it's overstuffed. And the last 20 minutes, it's it felt to me, bearing in mind it's a 2-hour and 20-minute film, the last 20 minutes to me felt rushed. It felt it was kind of right there, then we're going here, then we're going there, then we're going to go there, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do that. And I began to then lose patience with it towards the end because it felt right. And they'd done some fairly languid sequences, the party sequence on the rooftop. They're not exactly rushing with that, although, of course, that has more meaning come the end, spoiler free. And so I think when I watch it again, that will play better. And I think I will get it more second time around. So I did enjoy it a great deal. It was really good. I was never bored, but I did struggle to keep up towards the end. And that began to wear on me a little bit. Having said that, and again, I will buy this the second it's released. I can't wait to see it again. I know I will love it. But the what was nice is when I came out of the cinema, the person with whom, well, I saw it with two other people, but the person with whom I saw it with, who I was keen to enjoy it, said, "That's a 10 out of 10 and the best film I've ever seen." And that was very right. cool. And a member of the target audience, shall we say. And that was nice. So that was very cool. But so I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I don't blame the movie necessarily for the fact I couldn't keep up with it. I think it just requires more viewings for me to be able to join the dots. And then I will love it. I'm sure. So very, very good now, but I need to see it again. And I would see it again tomorrow if I had it in 4K.
Yeah.
How about you, Geese? What did you think?
I couldn't agree with you more, Steve, that I love the movie. I need to see it again with the right frame of mind. I don't know. It's everywhere. Is it a spoiler to say how it ended? Like, ending.
It not really, you know, because we knew 2 years ago that we this did? Oh yeah, we did.
I never knew that.
There's two films. Oh, you didn't know it was two
yeah,
movies?
Yeah, we've known there was two films for years.
So I never knew that. I never knew that, right?
Yeah, so, you did, but you forgot.
You're telling me what I know. I never knew that. I never knew that. And
go
it's
back
like
to chat and rewind.
But
John is supposed to be refereeing you and me.
I know, and he's telling me.
I'm saying you did know at one point.
I'm telling you. It's like, so look, John.
I wasn't talking to myself. But I wasn't talking to myself. Like,
I'm telling you.
To say you forgot. Okay.
How long ago was that? All right. How
years ago?
So Dune, at least at the beginning. Dune part one, you know, that's all they had to do. Wow. Right. And it's like, I'm like, cause what I felt, and now you might not like it, John, but this is what I felt. It's like a lot of like what Steve was saying.
I'm done.
Like what Steve was saying, I felt the same way, but I was like, it was like being a kid again in the 70s and 80s when they get to an end of an episode and you're like, they're not going to wrap this up in time. I had no idea. And as a matter of fact, maybe we did talk about it, John, and maybe I did forget, but I bet you I'm not the only one that didn't know. And I know that because I've asked a couple people and I've told them, I'm like, I know it might be a spoiler, but this is a two-parter. And they're like, really? I was like, yeah. I go, when was the last time a sequel was a two-parter? Like the first one stands on its own. And then the second one is a first part of a sequel, and I had no idea. Maybe you're right, John.
The future.
You probably
Harry
are.
Potter,
Twilight,
and
right. Well, that wasn't part two. Harry Potter was the final one. Was a two-parter, and you knew, and everybody knew. Even in the title, it was in the title. This one isn't in the title.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm sure lots of people forgot or didn't know. I agree with you there, but I'm just saying it was.
That's what I mean. I just felt. And that's where you get the feel of like how Steve was like, it just felt rushed. And I really felt like they were like, it felt like they were trying to make it one movie and we're like, we got to the, we really can't. We'll make it two now. And that's kind of how, and again, I loved it. I had a blast with it. I just have to go back now knowing, like Steve said, like now knowing that how this is going to play out, I'll pay attention to more and not being like, because I was looking for how are we going to wrap this thing up? And I'm like, obviously they didn't. And I had no idea. I had no memory of that.
I was looking for the cliffhanger, you see, because I knew that there was another one. So I was kind of, again, so a bit like you as well, I was thinking, well, where is the cliffhanger coming?
Right.
Is it going to be when you get the reveal of, like, what happened? Or is it this bit? Is it going to be that bit? And then the actual cliffhanger that they then pull out of nowhere was like, oh, okay, so it's that. But there'd been so many false dawns with that that again, I think I was becoming a little frustrated with it. Yeah. And I just think it does suddenly just go, it's going down a gentle, shallow slope from the beginning, and then it just goes off a cliff and just goes whoosh as it rushes towards the end.
That's what I mean. Doesn't it feel like they were trying to make a one movie and it was like, we're not going to do it, so we'll just wrap everything up? That's what ended up happening. They started jumping around and wrapping up each character, and and you're like, and if you're like me, you forgot that it's a two-parter, and you're like, what the heck? What's going on here? And then it's like, I think that's why I said, like you, Steve, like, with the right frame of mind, when you get to that, I'll be like, oh, this is awesome. And I know I'll love it. I did love it. I love the storyline. I love the messaging. I was getting emotional when he's talking to his mother, and you got this whole thing going on. And I even saw some of the stuff that, like, before characters see it, you're like, hey, they already foreshadowed this. And it's like, some of it I knew from the commercial. I was like, they foreshadowed this in the commercial, and they hadn't even gotten to that scene yet. But yeah, I think it's great. Artistically, again, it's just like the first one. It's a different palette. I love the opening to it. That's going to be amazing at home. It was watercolors.
Yes.
Is the opening, right? Yeah. And they use watercolors and the way it works. And it's like, you don't know where you are, what universe you're in. You're like, this is, it was amazing.
The thing is, if you're a comic reader,
right,
that was Gwen's color palette. Like, her world was like, it was awesome.
Well,
if you've read that stuff, there was scenes right off the comic book covers,
right?
You know, in all of the scenes for those characters, they did a great job with that.
Yeah.
I loved how the backgrounds, the watercolor background, again, I'm not gonna, without any spoilers, I love how the watercolor backgrounds were alive. And they're actually reflecting the emotions of the characters. There's one little bit where the color changes from one color signifying one emotion, because I don't want to give anything away, to another color when that emotion changed. And I love the way that crept across the screen. That was gorgeous.
Wait till you see it again, because when this opened, like, that image on the screen right here on YouTube is, I took that, like, at the open. I just have my camera up and I just snapped still shots, right? Boom, boom, boom. Like 20 of them. And I was just like, oh, that looks good. Boom, 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 boom. And I snapped them. And I'm scrolling through them, and there are plot points that don't show up for like an hour and a half in the photos. But you don't know that. And that's why I was saying, you don't know where you are. And I agree with you, John, that they nailed this throughout the movie. Different characters would come in and you were like, you knew right away where they were from because you knew them from the comics. But there are plot points at the very opening scene that show up in the background, in the artistry. And that's why I chose this one, that everybody knows it's Miles. So I'm like, okay, that's the character that we can put on the screen for this without spoiling. But there's so much more going on in the background. Some of it's faded out, some of it's obvious. The artistry in this throughout it is really going to pop in our homes. And obviously the audio too, because being a Sony, it'll be a Sony disc. It's going to crank just like, you know, Into the Spider-Verse did. These are going to be some fun movies when we get all of them in a row. And I'm sure the third one will be a triple part movie, but.
Well, you say that now, DJ.
But I don't know.
You won't know.
I heard it and I'll forget it. No,
we're telling you right now, but.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, I mean, the artist in me, and John, you had to be the same way. It's like, just watch it. That's where I think those blurbs on the side that you were missing out on and stuff, that's where those can come in, because they'll give you little notes that maybe you didn't, they don't necessarily pertain to the movie, the enjoyment of the movie, but it ties it into other things. It ties it into the comics. I did that a lot with Into the Spider-Verse, and you see that. And I'm really looking forward to this disc. Probably August, I would guess, unless it goes Maverick. You know,
yeah, I've got a funny feeling.
Making Sony a ton of money.
Yeah, so. Sony are going to want to hold this back, aren't they?
Christmas time.
Yeah, they're going to want this to be sort of October, November for Christmas, I would have thought.
You think?
Well, because this will run in theaters most of the summer, probably.
Yeah.
And then, you know, July, August, and then you say your 2 month window, September, October.
Well,
and then, you know.
Yeah. We'll see, because we got some other big movies coming out.
We've got Transformers this week. We've got Flash next week.
Yeah, but Sony movies, this is Sony's film of the year, isn't it? This is their biggest movie, so they're going to want to hold on to this for the holiday. I hope not, but...
No, yeah, but what I mean is, like, the Maverick was a rarity where it literally was the number one at the box office the entire time. That's why they couldn't pull it. And it, I mean, nothing could beat it. I mean, Jurassic World Dominion came and went, and it would, you know, nothing beat it.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I misunderstood. Sorry,
you see what I mean? Like,
window. Sorry. Yeah.
Right. So, like, if this goes to like number two, number three, because like John said, I don't think Transformers will upend it, but The Flash could upend it. Right. Then you've got Mission Impossible coming. You've got Oppenheimer coming. You've got all of these other great competition for it. So if that happens, if it starts falling in the rankings, they may be like, let's get it out there on disc and cash in while everybody's still hot off of just having seen it. You know what I mean? Maverick was a rarity. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I mean, if any of those is going to definitely knock it off, it'll be Mission Impossible, surely. I mean, these four quadrant release, whatever they say, you know, whatever the phrase is. I mean, that's the one that everybody and their cat is going to want to go and see. Everyone and their spider cat is going to want to go and see.
I just think they're also very different demographics. Like, Oppenheimer audience is not the Spider-Verse movie audience. For us, it is. But in general, they're different. They're playing the different demographics. So this could still rake in the cash all summer.
Yeah, you know? But it also is, how many screens does it get to have?
Yeah.
Because as the better competition comes out, yes, it's a different demographic, but it's still going to take away screens from that. Where I know, like, going back to, you know, Jurassic World Dominion, I wanted to go see it a second time, and it was like 1 week out, and it was already out of the prime spot.
Right.
And then Maverick was in some of the lesser screens, and it was still beating everybody. So will this do that? I don't know. I agree with you. Oppenheimer's probably not this. It definitely isn't the same demographic, but I don't know. There's a big, they've got that whole, you know, social media battle going on right now, because IMAX Enhanced is going to take, they're going to boot Mission Impossible to put in Oppenheimer. And you see what I mean? They're already battling. So everybody's like clamoring for screen time. And like, how does that play out for physical? Because a lot of that stuff translates. So it's fun, but we're the benefactors of it. We just get to sit back and hopefully we get it sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So, all right. Is that enough on that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to our 4K discs. We don't have too many coming this week, but let's get to that. Where are they? All right, from 1988, Rain Man. So, Steve.
I like the man of many words.
It's a great film, but I don't know.
I'll pick it up in 4K if it comes out over here. I wouldn't import it, but if it reaches here, I'll pick it up for sure. Hopefully, we'll all be able to count the toothpicks because of how razor sharp the image is.
Yeah, he's wrong.
He's not that good.
here's a big one, John. And it looks like Blu-rays are going the way of comics. We got some variant covers here.
Yeah,
that's what I thought putting this thing together, because a lot of them look like comics.
They do.
Other than the original, which is the top left corner, we got John Wick Chapter 4 dropping. These are 4K releases coming next Tuesday, June 13th.
No, these like steel books from
it looks
Walmart or Best Buy. Like, are these different vendors?
Yeah. The first one obviously is just the main one.
Talk about subtlety with images and that, Deej, like you talked about with Sisu and stuff. Look at the top left corner. Look at his tie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a sand. It's an hourglass.
Yeah.
Hourglass.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
And when you've seen the film, you'll know what that.
So that one there that you were talking about, that's just the original. That's just the standard. Okay. The one next to it, the John Wick top right corner on YouTube, as we're looking at, it's mostly red and like cream color. That's an Amazon exclusive. bottom left corner is a Best Buy exclusive. That definitely, these three all look comic booky.
They do.
Comic book covers, which he's into, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he's got some history there. Let's see. And then the last one,
Walmart, I would guess.
Yeah, probably. Good call. Walmart exclusive.
Yep. Yeah.
I think I like that last one more. That's the sort of thing you'd put on a cinema wall.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Right?
I actually like the top right. I like
the sort of Japanese
the,
one.
The yeah, it reminds me of
The Amazon
the exclusive. Last Samurai, you know.
Yeah.
Cherry blossom leaves or whatever they
are. Yeah. 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 I mean, they're all nice.
Yeah.
They're all nice covers. So, but yeah,
I think I prefer the special Cinema George bright white one. You know, you can fill in whatever you like then.
It'll look, these will look,
just draw whatever you want.
Beautiful in your attic.
Yeah.
I am going to have to do one of these days. I'll just draw a stick man on it and put John Wick. Here's the Cinema George version.
Gracing your crawl space.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. It's not a euphemism.
No. Coming from 1981, Time Bandits, Criterion. So this should be really good. Let me see. What do we got for audio? Is LPCM 2.0. Ooh. And that's the 4K, native 4K. So it should look nice. But then we also have from 1981 as well, Scream. So I didn't know they made a Scream.
I was just say not the Scream we were talking about.
I guess the original. And this is also in DTS HD Audio 2.0. So Master Audio 2.0. It's a native 4K disc, but yeah. So I've never heard of this one.
What year is this from?
81. 1981. So it's not
the same it's just the same name, right?
The first Scream was 1996. So this is this is something else.
This has nothing to do.
Right. Just something with the same name.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let me see. Let's see. Oh, and John? I mean it's up again this week.
I guess one of these weeks it'll come out.
But. I know. I saw it on the list. I was like, are you kidding me?
3 weeks in a row.
Oh, see, and I didn't even change. I used last week's graphic. Coming June 6th.
Yeah, you did.
So I was like, I'm not making a new graphic for this.
You didn't put June 6th what year, though.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, Strange New World.
Kind of like sneakily dropped Mario this week, which remember last week?
Yeah,
it's not out till next week, but it's in stores this week. People are buying it at Walmart. Yeah, people are buying it like today at Walmart. And I remember last week we talked about it was supposed to come out this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what was going on with that movie, but
yeah, there's no release date for it in the UK yet.
Yeah.
So it's really
it looks like
weird.
They changed the date, but stores got it and put it out anyways, or I don't know what's going on, but but I weird. Think technically it is next week. It's supposed to be a release for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon still says 13th of June over there, but like I said, there's no release date here yet. So I'm going to probably import it. I can't wait. I love that movie.
Which one? Mario?
Mario. Oh,
okay, yeah, you were talking Mario. All right. Yeah. I thought you were still talking about Strange New Worlds.
Oh, no. That I don't know what's going on with that. I'm talking about Mario. Which is out already.
I'm rolling on some other images here, guys.
Yeah. Even though it's not supposed to be.
Multitasking. All right. You want to do some listener experiences? We've got like 15 minutes left, 15 minutes left here, so we can get to a few of these. Here we go. All righty. First up, these go in the order they came in. So who wants to grab that one?
I'll go. It's fine. This is LBMWM3 commenting on Home Theater Experience, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon from YouTube. It says, DJ, I love your answer to the fellas in reference to what flaws you saw in your system. I am also in the same position as you. The Sony projector doesn't have DTM and HDR as a JVC projector. My plan one day is to get a Mad VR to render DTM and HDR, plus a Kaleidoscape. I cannot do the discs ripping in conversion. The easy disc to digital ripping on Kaleidoscape makes it so much easier. However, Steve and John are so right too. You only get what you, the individual, can afford, and use the home theater YouTubers as a guidance to help you to improve your home theater experience. Enjoy the ride and journey, as the youth man say. Gentlemen, thank you for your YouTube content, each bringing a sense of evolvement on how each of you look at a movie. Great job.
Thanks, LBMWM3.
Sounds like a droid.
I was saying, is he in Star Wars?
Yeah. Welcome to AI, everybody. Yeah. No, it's DTM, digital tone mapping. I love getting things like this. I mean, that's our followers. Some people, you got to do this. I'm like, no, I'm doing what I do. And then the people that agree with you, they will follow you. And that's your listenership. And we have a great listenership. And this is a great example of it. And it's, you know, do what you can do and don't be upset about other people, and only, you know, have fun with it. Enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey. So, someday everybody, you know, you'll get to where you want to be. And guess what? When you're there, you'll want to be someplace else.
You won't want to be there anymore.
Exactly.
They keep moving the finish line.
Yeah. Like what I was saying earlier about the difference between, you know, which do you prefer, video or audio? It just, for so long, it was so hard to improve your video. Right. So why invest so much money? Like, what are you going to do? All right. I mean,
not when affordably, anyways.
Yeah. It's, well, 4K didn't, I mean, we had HD for probably 15 years before 4K showed up. And even when it showed up, you knew you couldn't do much with it.
Right.
Danny Speakers and I were talking about this for a little bit, and that it's like, I mean, when we were younger in the 80s and into the 90s, you were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a projection screen that was decent. And that's at that price at that time, never mind including inflation, what we do now, you know?
Right.
And enjoy the ride, because like, I love looking back and seeing everything we've been through and the iterations, and it just makes you appreciate where we are and what we have, you know? All right. Next up we have, you want to take that one, Steve?
So this is from Francis Amuako. I think I'm saying that right. Apologies, Francis, if I'm not. This looks to be a tweet. It says, loved the Bright Side podcast this week, and the game I play with a certain alcoholic beverage when... Anytime DJ says Kaleidoscape, that's proving a popular game. It's not just you, Francis.
Yeah.
A couple of people playing.
That's where it came from a couple of weeks ago. It's like, that's how behind we got on these. But yeah, that's where it came from. And everybody's like, oh, Paul last week was having a grand old time. So he's back this week. So he survived. That's good.
We're contributing to liver disease across the world.
It's all about the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
The sights. Oh, so thanks, Francis. That's awesome. We have our new podcast game. So having fun with it. Let's see. Blue Wave says, great show, guys. This is from Home Theater Experience Hero 2002. YouTube comment. Great show, guys. Looking forward to Dungeons and Dragons on the 30th. I was checking out Batman Begins on the new rebranded HBO Max/Max yesterday and got Shawshanked into shutting that off and popping in the new shiny 4K Dark Knight set I just purchased. The audio difference was ridiculous, in all caps. Did a comparison of streaming versus disc, and these timestamps really stood out. 3403, the sound reverberation and Liam Neeson's voiceover echoes all throughout the surround, height, and back channels. Really enjoyable HD experience. 1 hour, 32 minutes, 23 seconds to 1 hour, 37 minutes and 22 seconds. This whole Batmobile sequence really shows the difference between streaming and the physical copy in two areas: bass response and dynamics. Loud and aggressive. You can supplement for that if you push up on the gain, but that does not help dynamics. Just another reason why I love the physical medium. I've tried that, and you know, to no avail. It's like you try and bump the volume and it just bumps everything up, so everything gets louder, which means you don't have those dynamics, and that's where the fun lies, and listening to the quiets and then the louds and the booms. And it's, but if everything's just a hum, it's not as good. So
yeah, it's one of the home theater and commercial theater misconceptions. Loud does not necessarily mean quality.
Right.
It just means loud.
Loud.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So there we go.
That, yeah. You could say that for any part of the track, any channel in the track, anything. It's like, you know, it's, you boost something and it can actually affect the enjoyment of other channels too. So let's see. Next up, John, you want to take that one?
Yeah, Brockstar commenting on same video, Hero 2002. DJ, you are buying 4 subs for your new home theater. As a question, are you doing 18 inches? Please go at least 18 inches. Praying emoji.
Okay. Do I have to make a video, Brock? Do I gotta get angry with you? I'm gonna get what I'm gonna get, and you're gonna like it because I'm gonna like it. No, I am getting 4. I'm getting 4. Pretty much decided that right from jump for PC 2000s, which I believe are only, you have those, John, right? I think
they're 15.
Are they 15? Are they even that big? I thought they might be 12s. I don't know.
I think they're 15. Okay. I'll have to go look at them.
I don't think in my size room I'm going to have that that big of an issue. I think I should get basically the same response. I should get the same response I have now. I'm running 2 PB2000s in my little room. This room that I'm getting is going to be, you know, slightly wider, slightly longer, and like slightly higher. So,
and, oh no, you're right. They're 12 inch. Sorry.
Okay. And 4 of those things running in that room should be more than enough. And I'm sure I'll get the bass response that I need. And you know, not have to take up all that extra space with 18 inch subs.
I could have sworn they were bigger than that, but
they play bigger.
It says, well, I say they sound bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they're only 16 inches wide, right? I think they're, the diameter of one is 16 inches. So then it's kind of why I chose them, because I want to be able to put them behind those false screens and,
right.
And you know, that's only going to be a couple feet wide. So, but yeah, so I, you know, John, you're more than welcome to come up and test out my puny, tiny 12 inch subwoofers. So nobody's going to make the size
joke. I was trying to stay away from it.
Guys, it's still early. We got a few more minutes here. We're not over anything. All right.
Yeah, we're all thinking it.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know I'm thinking it.
I know. Yeah, you started the show thinking it. Steve, you want to read the last one?
Okay, yeah. So this doesn't say who from.
This one is from G. Cornell.
Ah, okay. So
sorry.
So an email, I imagine, knowing G. Cornell.
Okay, yeah.
So already. So best 30 seconds in movie making, it says. So Hunter Killer. From 6 minutes to 6 minutes and 30 seconds. This is an experience, a scene suggestion. So not only a scenic vista, but the sound of the chopper arriving to retrieve Butler with strong overhead presence, accompanied by strong room filling low frequencies that blend perfectly with the score. Fair to say the best 30 seconds on film.
I'll let you go first, Steve.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Hunter Killer in 4K is really good as a home theater experience right from the off. Yeah. I think there's a demo sequence before 6 minutes, which is when we've said it before, when you've got the flyover of the ice cap and then down under the water and the water comes up and over. So it's great. The best 30 seconds on film? No.
Do you find a point on it?
No. Yeah, hopefully he's being tongue in cheek, like I am when I say Cocaine Bear is the best film of the year.
Yeah.
It's not that, but it is a very good home screen demo. Yeah. All the way through that movie, there are great sequences. All the shootouts are great as well, and all the sub stuff is good.
So, navigating underwater and the subs was next level. I love Hunt for Red October. I wish that had maybe a scene like that, because they did the trench in Hunt for Red October, and I'm like, oh, that scene could have been enhanced with, like, if they did something like they did in Hunt to Killer. But I reviewed that. It is a fantastic demo movie. Mm. And a better movie than, you know, Hurricane Heist.
To be fair, you guys mentioned it while I was on holiday in Spain. And it was listening to the podcast, you two, back at that time, because I'd done my little bit. And back at that time, you two talking about this is what made me revisit it, because I didn't like it the first time I saw it, and I switched it off. And you guys talking about it, I ordered the disc, the 4K disc this was, and I had a blast with it because you guys had mentioned it. So, yeah, it's good. It is good.
And you didn't even have to drink anything. There we go.
So. Well, sangria, obviously, it's Spain.
Yeah, there you go.
That's fine. Yeah, the same place. Spain / Afghanistan. It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Right. According to you Jake guys. There?
Yes, he was.
All right. That's we'll wrap up on that one there. What do we got coming up next week?
Well, we've got to wait 65 million years for the answer. Because next week it's 65. Yes, with Adam Driver. So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I only got halfway through it the first time.
Yeah, I've been all the way through it. I didn't know you were buying it. I had a listener DM me and told me he saw it in the theater. Then he watched it at home. He said it's a great home theater experience. I'll let the cat out of the bag right now. It is. It really is. So if you get an opportunity to see that before next week, we're going to talk about it. We'll talk about the movie as well, but it's not about the movies here. It's about the experiences, and it's a great home theater experience. So I can't wait to hear what you think, because you did not enjoy it the first time.
So. I lost interest. So I'm hoping it's good. It's a Sony disc, and in Sony,
most of the people with you lost interest. Where did everybody go?
That's exactly it. I mean, I was prepared to at least subject myself to it and finish it off. But once they lost interest, then I've
heard mixed reviews, and I a listener gave me a good review, not just a saying that it was good, but good description. And I was like, hey, I got to be fair about it. So. I rented it on Kaleidoscape, and we'll talk more about that next week. But
But I walked into the store on Monday expecting to get Shazam and The Fablemans. I didn't even know 65 was coming out. So it was like, oh, okay, right, that's out as well. So I picked it up too. So I didn't know either. But yeah, so, we'll give it a go. I'm looking forward to it.
We got that and so much more. All right, boys. What are you going to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
And we're out. Have a great week.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.